I'm Gab, he's Jules. It's partly cloudy in West London. Not that I would know, because we're in a new studio. And there's no windows. So there you go. So that might have changed the last few minutes. But look, we've got a packed show today because we'll be reflecting on what's happened in the transfer window. We got South American qualifying. We got U.S. beating Honduras. Exactly.
In the cold.
Exactly. In the freaking freezer. But let's start with the deal that I think few would have seen happening. I certainly didn't imagine it. Let's start by looking at Barcelona and Arsenal, two teams that are chasing top four. At the end of the transfer window, beyond the end of the transfer window, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang joining Barca. I'm going to have my little gloat here because when I said one of the stupidest things you can hear people say, and please feel free to take a baseball bat to their head if you hear them say this, or a cricket bat, or a golf club if you like, is, well, but it's going to cost you so much more to replace him. That is so stupid. That is just so the wrong way to think about things. Obviously, it didn't work out. Arsenal canceling his contract, and which makes him a free agent, which meant that he could join Barcelona.
That's right.
Let's start with the numbers, Jules. Do we have any more deal? Because I praised Alba for saying a lot of people talk the talk, few walk the walk. He left a lot of money on the table. It's been suggestions that he got a £7 million payoff from Arsenal. So it's not quite that much money that he's leaving on the table, but he's obviously signing for less money.
Yeah, exactly. And have a longish contract at Barcelona if you want, so they can spread the wages and etc.
But there's a break after 18 months. So it's really an 18 months. It's basically an 18 months contract.
Otherwise, he would be still in the contract with them when he's 36, which we all agree is not a good idea. So you're right, Barca, the only way they could have done it is if there was no loan where they had to, you know, they had to share, let's say, the wages with Arsenal, for example, because he was on so much money. And for them, what worked the best was to have him as a free agent, like they did. It was funny how he turned up in Barcelona unannounced by saying, like, yeah, it's a family holiday, but hey, if you need a striker, I'm here. Look, I'm here in town. Good coincidence. I don't know, he's 32 years of age. He was not having a good season. Arteta and him fell out. He was stripped off the captaincy, for example. So I think he needed to move and something different. He would not have played. He could have stayed. And like you said, taken the money, he would not have played. I think Arteta is that ruthless that he would not have played him again. So that was the best, I think, best solution for everybody.
Now you have a situation where, I think, if you just count forwards, I think I saw somewhere, it's 10 people now that they have.
That's right.
Obviously, Ansu Fati's injured and isn't coming back for a while. Does he fit the type of football that Xavi wants to play in terms of when we think of Alba, we think of his bigger skills, the running behind and whatever? Seems the more pace, like a counter-attacking transition type.
Completely. And I'm waiting to see. I mean, there's a point to be made that him and Dembele played together in a Tuchel team at Dortmund that also had a lot of the ball at times, but yet they were very far more vertical than Barca are right now with Xavi. I still think that he can't really play with his back to goal. He can't hold the ball up. He can't link up the play. And I think that's the number nine that Xavi needs in his team. When you have 65 or 70% of the ball, he can't play in small spaces. He needs that space to run in behind, and he doesn't have that. So it'd be very interesting to see what he does. I mean, I don't think Luke de Jong is a Xavi Barca player either. I don't think right now they have a number nine Braithwaite either, if you really want to push it to Braithwaite. Ferran Torres can play there, and he's probably the best number nine they have in the Barca DNA.
And I appreciate Memphis is not a natural number nine, but what happened? Let's say we're Gavin Jules' podcast. I find this whole thing where Memphis seemed to be like the most important player since in the history of Barcelona since Lionel Messi in like September and October.
Yeah.
Scored a ton of goals, played well.
Keyboards.
And now, you know, he gets injured, comes back, plays a little. He seems to be completely forgotten from the equation.
Yeah,
completely. Which I don't understand. I don't understand one bit. From the Arsenal perspective, the reality is now, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
You're going to say, well, rather than getting somebody we don't want now, let's wait until the end of the season to get somebody. But you still have Lacazette, Eddie, and Martinelli as your only options up front between now and the end of the season. An injury, a suspension, you're not that far away from Pepe as your center forward.
No, okay, but you had Aubameyang in the first half of the season who hardly plays, scored one goal. and you still are fifth currently, 1 point behind top four. And I know it's a big battle with United and West Ham
and Spurs of games
and Spurs. Yeah, no, but which is really good for them. They haven't won those games yet. So I'm just saying that you did pretty well. No, but listen, you did pretty well in the first half of the season without Aubameyang. Count him out because he didn't play much, and when he did, he was not very good. So I think the belief was that they can have another really good second half of the season, and the same without him. Maybe they're wrong, and maybe we will see in May that they made a mistake and they should have got someone. Maybe not, but the idea is, like, why signing someone for the sake of it when it's not the guy you want? They looked into Vlahovic, they looked into Isak for different reasons, could not make them. Wait for the summer and spend your money then.
This is one of those situations where I think in England there's the idea that seeing that sort of short-term loans are something that bad clubs do, crappy clubs with no money, and they don't befit big clubs. I wonder if in this situation, just another body, another alternative,
maybe, of course,
insurance for 6 months might not have made made sense for Arsenal. All right, Jules, so we talked about it. Just recapping Barca's window. And look, let's be fair, this was a difficult window. We know about the restrictions that they had. Yeah. They were limited in what they could bring in. They tried to shift Dest to generate more money. They weren't able to do that. They tried to shift Dembele, and we'll get to Dembele in a minute, to generate more money. They weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
They did the best they could. Adama Traore, loan plus an option.
Yeah, you said it's no risk, which is fair. If he does well, you can, and you have the money, you can buy him. If you don't, send him back.
Well, the other thing about these, but it's funny, with these loans with options in a situation like this, I don't want to be cynical about it, right? But you're dealing with George Mendes on the other side, yeah?
Yeah.
So if you're Barcelona, right? I think is that the buyback, as they said, oh, it's 30 million to make the deal
33
permanent.
Or something.
33 million? Mm. Okay, fine. Let's say Adama plays really well, or plays well enough that Barcelona say, I want to keep him. And he says, nah, I want to stay here.
Yeah.
And Barcelona,
I know
can go
where
to
you're
Wolves.
Coming. I
no,
know
but
where
Barcelona
you're
can go to Wolves and say, hey, we'll give you 20 million.
15, yeah.
15, 10.
I'm right? sure Uncle George will make that happen, yeah.
I mean, and here's a commission. I mean, Uncle George gets paid either way, right?
Exactly.
So it is under, I always see, like, when I see those, oh, and they have an option to buy it so-and-so, right? It's not, that option to buy is always kind of,
yeah.
Because if the player wants to stay, and like maybe Adama Traore is in love with Wolverhampton, and he's like, oh, no, I'd rather not be here at Barcelona. I'd rather
where I grew up
and like playing for, you know. So it's I think this is an interesting one. But you're right. It's something that you do on the cheap. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ferran Torres we've covered at length and what he can do. Dani Alves as well. And which brings us to Aubameyang. And let's try to imagine how we would put up their 11. What does their best 11 look like right now? Obviously, Ter Stegen in goal, right? No argument there. I'm assuming you go Piqué and Araujo as your central defenders.
Yeah.
Your right back is going to be Dani Alves. I would imagine Serginho Dest should get a fair amount of playing time.
I would think so. Because defensively, Dani Alves is
you
Dani
have
Alves
issues.
At
yeah.
60 years of age. So... you know, but I know what he would bring with the ball and in terms of leadership and etc. This is not a problem, but we've seen already that defensively, most of the games he's played at, he struggled.
Yeah. We have Piqué and Araujo ahead of Eric Garcia,
I think both so, yeah. Unless you want to play Araujo at right back and Jordi Alba left back and then find someone else with Piqué in the centre, Longley, Eric Garcia, whoever you want. But I think Araujo and Piqué are the best partnership at centre back.
You got Jordi Alba on the other
left,
flank, who I think the last 18 months actually has been quietly been really good.
Yeah, he's been good.
You know, back to the level he was at when he first came over. Midfield, it seems to me you've got essentially five options for three places.
Yeah.
Busquets, De Jong, Nico, Pedri, and Gavi.
Yeah.
That's a good group. It's a good place to be in.
Really, really good.
Different profiles, you can do things differently. What I wonder about, though, is if it's a big game, a big European game, or actually big Europa League game in this case, but you know, a key game, what choices does Xavi make? What choices do we think Xavi makes?
The biggest call is the Busquets situation, because against Napoli in the Europa League, he can't run anymore. We know that, and Barca won't control the game against a team like this, like they would, and where he would be very useful. And I think the big call is, do you drop him or you keep him? I think at times this season, he's kept him, and that was counterproductive for the team. I would love it, the young Pedri Gavi midfield, I have to be honest. And there's a lot of work to do with them on movements and positioning and etc.
No?
And maybe a bit lightweight. But again, if you have, you know, if you have a lot of running to do or a lot of position to have, or it's a very intelligent midfield, I think it could work. But knowing Xavi, I don't think he will drop Busquets. So it'll be Busquets plus two.
Yeah, I think it's Busquets, De Jong and Pedri.
So you would move Gavi to the front three?
Move in the front three or leave him out. If you, again, we're talking situations where everybody's fit 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like kind of like what would he have in his eyes? Obviously, you have alternatives. I think De Jong, though, is the interesting one here, because I think we've seen him play a little better in the last few games, but we've not seen good De Jong. You know, we've talked about how like he's good De Jong, the other one's bad De Jong. But, you know, he hasn't. But he's still a huge financial investment for the club. He's still young enough. He's shown in the past, even at Barcelona,
I think,
when he first arrived, that he can get back there. The front three. Okay, Ansu Fati would be an automatic choice if he were fit.
Yeah.
We're not going to see him for another 3 months.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's only another 3 months.
Yeah.
How does the rest shake out? Because Ferran Torres on the other flank, I think, makes sense.
Not in the center for you. You would not play him centrally.
Well, I'm trying to think like Xavi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I was going to play him centrally, I would have played him centrally in the last couple of games instead of Jude Gla and Luke de Jong and these guys.
Yeah, true.
And I wouldn't bother with Aubameyang. I hope he's not thinking, let me put Alba back on the wing where he paid years ago. Because we've seen
chance.
Alba on the wing is not an option at this stage of his career, right?
Say enough for Barcelona, no.
And I think Ferran Torres, I wrote a whole column about this, is kind of like a defensive signing is kind of like an insurance signing. That's one of the fringe benefits of his signing, because in terms of Dembele, right? Because it allows you to say, we have Dembele's replacement, potentially,
if that's how
we see him as a right wing, you know? And that's where he played mostly for Spain.
Yeah.
So assuming Dembele doesn't extend and assuming he doesn't want to play him, which at this stage I think he'd be justified in not playing him much.
Although he's on the list of the Europa League, which is clearly an indication that they are in, the intention is to play him. Otherwise, why would you put him in that list?
Yeah. So, look, for me, the best front three, if everybody was fit and productive, I would go Dembele, Ferran Torres, and Depay. And I would just figure it out. You know, leaving aside Ansu.
Okay.
But I don't think that's going to happen. So, and I think if you're going to move on in 6 months as well, there's no real reason to play Dembele.
Yeah.
He's not that much of a difference maker that you say, well, I'll get as much as I can from him. Unless you think you can change his mind, and that's highly unlikely, I think, at this stage. Because, look, Dembele can count like anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Dembele knows that Ferran Torres, at least in Spain, is seen as a winger because that's the position he's played for Spain where he's done well. I know he's played up front for City, and I think, and Pep thinks, that that could be his future, but for now, he's a winger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dembele, you just signed this guy who's younger than me, paid a lot of money for him. Why want to come back?
I know, but you keep hearing Xavi and Laporta saying, you know, you're the best in the world in your position, you're better than Mbappe. Even Laporta, again, on Monday or Tuesday, was like, if when he's at his best, he's better than Mbappe for me. Like, okay, so you Dembele, they've just signed one of your best friends, who everybody knows, you had such a great partnership together at Dortmund where you created a lot of goals for him. He's called a lot of goals of your crosses, blah blah blah, all of that. So if you then believe, you think, okay, they're going to utilize the partnership that we have, the relationship that me and Aubameyang have together, right? You would think, why would you pass on that?
I think the reason you would say that is you've made, at least as I would see it, if this were a grown-up club, and sometimes I wonder if it is, you've signed Xavi. You've sold people on the fact we inherited a disaster and a tire fire.
Yeah.
We're building long term.
Yeah.
So Aubameyang will not be part of your long term. Dembele probably won't be. Maybe. Yeah. You don't know that. You know, the guy who will be around is Ferran Torres.
Yeah.
So you build around him. That's how I see it. And Adama Traore, where does he fit?
I don't know. Does he even fit? With his style of play, I mean, okay, I think what they need at times, especially when you play against a really low block, is someone who get the ball and said, I don't care about all your passing drills, patterns of plays, all
your
of that. Give me
round.
The ball, I'm just going to go, and then just try to go around people and then create something out of nothing, which is maybe what Xavi saw in Adama and said, like, yeah, we need that kind of player. It's a bit like Dembele in a way, you know, a lot of pace and a lot of skills. And
except Dembele then crosses the ball.
Yeah,
Adama.
And so maybe Adama is your super sub. Bring him on when it's 0-0 or 1-1, when there's not much space, you're not creating much.
Opposing and say, you know, defenders
what?
Are tired.
Yeah, and you're so free on. To do whatever you want. Go and do and try your best. And that's the only way I see Adama fitting in that team. I don't see him as a starter. I don't see him being converted to some sort of like right wing back or anything like that. I just think he will use him as an impact sub and saying, you know what, you've got 25 minutes. Go and with your pace and your physicality and all the skills and everything, the tricks, you might make something happen out of nothing. That's all.
Which brings me to Memphis. I touched upon it before. I think Memphis is a supremely talented player.
I agree.
I think he's already shown that he's done this at Barcelona.
There's an issue with Xavi, yeah? Otherwise, he would have played him more since he arrived at the club.
Well, who's more talented than Memphis at this club?
Technically, you mean?
Yeah,
not many people.
Ansu,
Gavi. Gavi Pedri, those kind of very, very technical players.
But not on Memphis's level, and they don't have the goals that Memphis has. And
certainly
and whatever,
not in
right?
his position, yeah.
So,
but why is
you
he not
reckon this?
Him?
But this is an underreported story, then.
Yeah, completely, I think.
I mean, I'd love to know, like, and what's going on?
So I think there was an injury, but still, unless he doesn't think that Memphis fit the mold and the way they play, but you would think, I think Memphis is a very intelligent player. Like, he can adapt to different system, different formation, different organization. You want him to move in certain areas, he can do that. I think he would be, I thought he would, but clearly Xavi doesn't seem to think.
Well, the other thing is, if you go back, you know, and you look at Xavi and you look at even his own experience as a player, if you want to view Memphis Depay as a non-traditional center forward or whatever, Xavi's Barcelona did their best work without a traditional center forward.
Yeah, completely.
You know, I'm talking, obviously, later they got Suarez and they had the year with Ibra, but but other than that, if you look at the people who, you know, you had Messi through the middle sometimes, you had, you know, Thierry Henry. I mean, I'm not saying that Memphis is Messi, but you came through in a scenario where you had an allowance for that very talented guy who had that extra freedom.
Yeah.
Why move away from it now?
Unless,
we don't know.
Yeah,
unless he's not fully fit.
Yeah, or there's something that we don't know, you know, a training, or Xavi's tried him there, seen him there a lot, and it's not happening for him. I don't know, but it'd be very interesting to see. I mean, they play Atletico at the weekend, so already we will have an idea of...
Okay, that game is huge.
It's a huge game for top four, for, I think, the momentum, for psychologically, for the mood, for everything. Whoever you start, if you think that Aubameyang is already fit and ready to start... I doubt it. His last game was 6th of December, so that's a long time without playing. You know, you go with Memphis, you go with Luke de Jong because he's solid and you're going to cross the ball. I don't know. It'd be fascinating.
I mean, I think it's going to tell us volumes, because you look at this game this weekend, and obviously we don't often do previews and whatnot, but you have a situation where, you know, they haven't played in 10 days now, no?
Yeah.
Or it'll be 2 weeks by the time the game rolls around. Unless Memphis is not fit... If you don't start him in this game, you really are sending a message, because Alba is obviously not going to start since he just arrived, right?
Yeah.
Adama, I'm assuming, is not going to start.
Yeah.
Ansu Fati's injured.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to put Gavi in the front three, fine. Okay. Gavi, Ferran Torres. If I'm Memphis and I look around and I say, you're really going to play Luke de Jong ahead of me?
De Jong. I mean, right? I think he would explode.
I mean, so there's a lot going on. There's going to be this race for fourth place, and I think it is, because I think Betis can't stay up there.
Yeah, I agree completely.
This is going to be one of the real themes between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
On Arsenal. All right, let me take this step back, because I tweeted this out. I'm going to go back to this. I have a level of respect for players who walk away from money.
Yeah.
And I just want to make this very clear. People say, oh, but he's already rich. Yes, Alba is already very, very rich.
He is.
Okay, and he could play for free for Barcelona.
Yeah,
he could go and take Arsenal's 350 grand a week and burn it in his front garden.
He could.
And it wouldn't affect his life one bit.
That's true.
My thing is, you can't compare him to other people. You compare him to other footballers in that position who don't play and don't take pay cuts and don't leave money on the table.
Yeah, didn't do that move.
It's so rare.
It is. And whether he got some compensation from the club or not.
Reports say $7 million.
Yeah, whether he had already £30 million in his bank account from previous contracts and wages, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that this was, also is Barcelona. I think if he could have done that for a much smaller club somewhere else in Europe, maybe he wouldn't have done the sacrifice. And I put that into
The point is, however much money, he's leaving money on the table. There's no dispute.
It's a smaller contract that he signed now than the one he was on for the next 18 months.
Exactly. And that's even with the $7 million.
Yeah.
He's leaving money on the table.
And for Arsenal, they are obviously saving money. It's big savings for them not to have to his wages on the wage book.
Flip side of that, this is one of the stupidest deals Arsenal have ever done.
I have to give you a lot of credit, because as difficult as he was at the time not to give him a new contract, and he was hard, he just won them the FA Cup, he scored a brace in the semi-final of the FA Cup against Chelsea, one in the final against City or the other around, and I don't think you could have let him without a new contract. Then you could always argue it was far too much money, you could have made incentives doing the structure of the deal differently. But I think it was hard for them not to give him a new deal. It turned out that to be disastrous in terms of his contribution. Maybe took his eye off the ball. Maybe the expectations or pressure were too high. Maybe the style that Arteta wants for the team now doesn't suit him. And I think I've said that all along. He's not a complete striker enough to play in a team with Arteta as a manager, with what Arteta was asking his number nine to do. Can't play, can't link up the play, can't drop deeper. He's not good enough technically for that kind of stuff. So it was always going to be difficult, I think, with Arteta to use him at his best.
My neighbor is David Solomon. Gave him a shout out.
Yeah.
Is one of those sort of longtime major gooners.
Yeah.
Who often sees the negative side.
Yeah.
And he says, this is going to end with a new contract for Lacazette, regardless of whether they bring in a new striker. Because look, in a few months, Nketiah's out of contract, Lacazette's out of contract.
Yeah.
You have Martinelli, and that's it. And Martinelli's not really a center forward. He's hasn't had a pretty long strike. The stuff you're talking about, holding the ball up, he can link play a little bit. It's just not his, his thing.
He's more with the, facing the goal.
So he says this is going to end with Arsenal buying a striker, hopefully the one they want, and Lacazette getting a new deal.
But I think if there's another striker coming in and one they want, whether it's Jonathan David, Alexander Isak, Calvert-Lewin, Watkins, Tony, whoever they go for, and it would be someone, I can guarantee you, under the age of 25 or 25 or under, it would be someone, I think, that, again, in terms of style and personality, fits far more what they want to be. But if on top of that you extend Lacazette for the leadership, for the experience, for what he can bring you on the team, because I think he's done really well this season, but he hasn't scored enough goals, and he would be the first one to acknowledge that too. I think that's fine. If you just extend Lacazette...
Do you think So Lacazette's a year younger, right, than
Alba? He's 30 going on 31.
Okay, if you say Lacazette, 2 years, taking you to 33, no pay rate, no raise... You're already on close to $200,000 a week, right? And you don't score a lot of goals. To me, that's a very different scenario than Alba 3 years taking
him up. No, I see what you mean.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know how he would, say.
And you say to him, look, if somebody else wants you, if you think you can go to a club that'll give you more money, I don't even know what point he's motivated by money necessarily versus playing. But if you think you can go to a better club where you're going to be happier and be more important and play or whatever, otherwise you stay here and you'll be poor. I mean, would that be a good play? I would consider something like that.
I think he's so important for this team and for the dressing room, 100%. And the fact that he's the captain now, I think shows that. You don't give someone the armband just because you like his style and or the trainers that he's wearing. So I think he's very important. I don't know how he would react to that.
You must know. You mean you've covered the guy for 10 years.
No. I know. In the sense that I don't know. He doesn't there's been no offers now. So I don't think he expects one. I don't think he expects something to change. Right?
But equally, I'm assuming given that it's now January, he could sign with any other team outside of England.
So Lyon have been in touch, for example.
Right. I'm assuming his agency have other offers.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Lyon have been an option. I think he's very much
First question, is Peter Bosz still going to be there?
Yeah, no, but I think there's a lot of clubs in Spain that like him. Because I think he's got a style that suits La Liga very much so. So there will be other options, but I know he loves Arsenal. He's really committed and involved in making this season a success. But they haven't offered him a new contract yet, so it's hard even for us to speculate or even for him to think about it.
No, I don't know necessarily they should, but I think and in the spring. He'll have a sense of who's out there. You know, we can say clubs in Spain and stuff. It's not going to be Atletico because they have a billion strikers, right? It's not realistically going to be Real Madrid or Barcelona, you imagine.
Yeah.
At that point, Sevilla, Betis could be offering you Champions League football, but they're going to offer you a ton less money than what you're on now or than what Arsenal can offer you. So then you...
But maybe Arsenal don't want to extend him. Maybe they're not. Maybe he's 30.
If they don't want to,
31.
You better be sure that you can sign... In addition to your top target, whoever it is, that you can sign somebody else decent, because otherwise, you know, you're going to be three men down in the attacking department.
That's true. That's very true.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Barca, enough Alba. How about some quick hits?
Let's go, Gab.
Senegal defeat Burkina Faso 3-1 to advance to the Africa Cup of Nations final. Well, they'll face the winner of Egypt and Cameroon, who kick off in a few hours. Just a slow start, but they're getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there. It was a really good game, I have to say. Burkina Faso played well too and came back at 2-1, but Senegal were too strong. Sadio Mane, and we talked about Mo Salah the other day. Really being there and carrying that Egyptian team in a way, or delivering if you prefer.
That second goal, the way Sadio Mane keeps the ball in play and has that belief.
The cross, yeah.
And then he's unselfish too.
Yeah. Because he could have easily taken a shot himself. He was great. They were great. They were solid again, despite conceding one. They look really good. They've never won anything. They lost the final in the last AFCON, of course, against a very good Algerian team. I think this is a big chance for them. Whether they face Egypt or Cameroon, it's a big, big chance. And I really, really think that Aliou Cissé and the boys can do it this time.
Two things I didn't think I'd see. Koulibaly's overhead kick that led to Diallo's goal. And then the guy scoring with his knee to make it 2-1 for Burkina Faso. So bizarre.
Yeah, that's so bizarre. Mason Greenwood has been released on bail after his arrest on Sunday. Gab, police confirmed that he was questioned on suspicion of rape and assault against an 18-year-old woman. United have confirmed that he will not train or play for the club until further notice.
Yeah, so the investigation goes on.
He was rearrested as well.
Yeah, but essentially you can only be held for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Without being charged, and so the police asked, you know, we use the term rearrest. Basically, the police says, "No, we want to detain him for longer until we decide what the appropriate bail conditions are and whatnot." One thing I want to say about this: if we're very limited in what we can say about this, because we both live and the show is recorded in the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has very stringent laws with the police and authorities asking people not to talk about the case because you don't want to necessarily tamper or influence the legal proceedings and the criminal investigation.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we and other English media do not talk about it. It's also why those images that were on social media have been taken down. And so it's not that we're ignoring the case. We'll bring you updates as it happens, but we are limited and constrained. Outside this country, there are no limits. Meanwhile, Jules, United have confirmed that anybody owning a Mason Greenwood shirt can swap it for another jersey for free.
Yeah, that's right. I think
that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and I think United have acted quickly and swiftly and well in this case. It can't have been easy for the club either, and same for other sponsors like Nike, EA Sports, all of that, who had to make a move because, as we said, this has to stop. And this sort of environment in football has to stop. And I think United have done that. And if you have a Mason Greenwood shirt, you know you can go and exchange it or whatever you decide to do. And I think that, again, that was the right thing to do from United's point of view.
We've been very critical, or I certainly have been. When we talk about PR operations and comms departments, without getting to inside baseball, Uniteds are not fun to deal with, and they're generally not particularly good, in my opinion, relative to other clubs like Liverpool, even City. But this was a really, really correct move,
really went,
respectful to the fans.
Yeah. The United States beat Honduras 3-0 to move back into second place in World Cup qualifying. But Gab, was it really necessary to play with -3 degrees Fahrenheit, which is -16 Celsius?
It was even colder than that.
Yeah.
With the wind chill, it's -15 Fahrenheit, which internet tells me is -26
Celsius. That's ridiculous.
Celsius.
I mean, why would you even go as a fan to watch that? Because at least the players are running, so they keep him warm. But
some of them, the goalkeeper wore one of those weird muffs. Like the ones that quarterbacks sometimes wear in the NFL. Two of the Honduran players were treated for hypothermia.
It's crazy.
Listen, I know the logic behind it. Oh, look, it's hot in Honduras, so let's play.
Yeah, so as an advantage,
You're the better team. And when it's so cold, it's not an advantage for anybody because, guess what? Christian Pulisic plays here in London where the temperature is actually pretty moderate. He doesn't play in the north of the Arctic Circle, right? he doesn't play on the Sakhalin Island. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I know.
Who does this? Who thinks this is a good spectacle? And normally you would think when the conditions are awful, what do we always say? It hurts the more talented team. Mm. The United States, player for player, are the more technically gifted team, relative to Honduras.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad nobody got seriously hurt game.
I know.
No Lionel Messi because he was busy in the Coupe de France priorities. But Argentina beat Colombia 1-0, World Cup qualifying, thanks to a goal from Lautaro Martinez. Jules, some are skeptical. They don't show Lionel love. Argentina haven't actually lost a game since the semifinal of the 29 Copa America, which is pre-pandemic.
Yeah, it is pre-pandemic. I think Scaloni has done a really, really good job in the sense that they are a much better organized team and much better structured team than before. They're solid, of course, and they will always... I think it's much easier to make your team solid defensively than the most exciting to watch and entertaining to watch. But I think they showed that they can play really well with Messi, without Messi collectively. Don't just rely on him, give him the ball and then nothing happens, no movement, nothing. And I think that's been really promising before the World Cup. UEFA have issued their benchmarking report and it turns out that European clubs lost 7 billion euros over the past 2 years. Gab, are you surprised? Something tells me that you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised. We knew, the ECA's own calculation was 8 billion.
Yeah.
It is over two seasons and it's almost entirely due to COVID. Interestingly, this report is packed with information. It's public, it's on their website. It's really interesting to read, I think. Interestingly, sponsorship incomes weren't affected. Obviously, the thing that really hurt clubs across the board were gate receipts. It's tough to judge a general health, I think, until we start moving back towards normal.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, roll on the quick hits.
Yes.
No double for Paris Saint-Germain this season, despite Lionel Messi. They get knocked out of the French Cup by Nice, and he doesn't have a good day. In fact, the only Paris Saint-Germain player who I think had a really good day is Marcin Bulka, who happens to be on loan at Nice.
Yeah, exactly. And in France, you can play against your parent club.
In most normal countries, you can do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Not like in England. It was a horror show. It was terrible. I mean, I can clip you 15 moments in the game where someone of PSG had the ball, Verratti often, and there's just no movement, nothing happening in front of him. I think Mauro Icardi played 64 minutes, touched the ball 9 times, and lost it 4 times out of 9.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I was baffled by how pathetic the level of this PSG team was. Okay, there was a lot of players missing, you know, Marquinhos, no Neymar, Mbappe on the bench, no Di Maria, anything you want, okay. But they were terrible. And for me, again and again and again, Pochettino is not doing a good job enough. And now I've got no doubts that he's out in the summer, even with 1 year left on his contract. He can do whatever he wants. He can go to United, go home to Argentina, whatever you want. I won't care anymore.
You heard it here first.
Manchester City are reportedly close to giving Bernardo Silva a new contract, Gab. He has a deal currently through 2025 and he's 27 years old. Is that the right move? You would be happy with that?
Well, obviously, it looked like he was moving on in the summer. I'm imagining it has to do with the fact that maybe he's not as well compensated as his teammates, because contract length, no, there's no reason to talk to him now, right? Right now, what you would normally want to do, I would imagine, is you've got Gabriel Jesus, mm-hmm. Riyad Mahrez, Raheem Sterling, all out of contract in 2023.
Yeah.
I would imagine that they would be priorities, either you sell them or you extend them.
Well, they're older. Like, Mahrez is older, much older than Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, and so maybe you don't sell Mahrez, maybe you think of... But the funny thing with Bernardo Silva is he's just been so good. So maybe it's a shorter-term extension.
Yeah,
so
like Cancelo. Cancelo just signed a new contract.
That kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Brazil beat up Paraguay 4-0 to stay top of South American qualifying. Jules, Coutinho, Rafinha, they're going from strength to strength.
Yeah, they were really good in that game. Okay, the opposition, I give you that, were not very good. But with a lot of rotation from Tichy, changing a few players and stuff, they were very, very interesting. I think the way they played, he's got a lot of options that he can play in midfield deeper, the wide players, even as a center forwards. And there was obviously no Neymar, for example, and others. So very, very promising. There's this lovely nutmeg from Vinicius and then diagonal to switch the play. Absolutely outstanding. So well done to Brazil, who still, I think, can beat the record of the most points ever in a World Cup qualifier for South America. Meanwhile, Gab, the Diego Alonso era continues his bright start for Uruguay, who beat Venezuela 4-1. We saw goals from Cavani, from Suarez, a wonder strike from Bentancur in the first minute of the game as well, and a great performance from a Manchester United player.
That's right. First of all, Bentancur's goal, it was straight at the start. It was a tremendous strike. A Manchester United player many had forgotten. Facundo Pellistri.
And they would be right to forget. I mean, the kid has never played for them.
Yeah, he's been at Alaves on loan, hasn't even played that much.
No.
But yeah, he played on the right. He had a couple tremendous runs. So he looked like Cafu.
Yeah.
Now, I realize it's only Venezuela.
Yeah.
But, you know, people talk about, and I don't know that he always plays on the right. I think sometimes he plays in the middle for Alaves. But yeah, he looked
quick.
Way up for it.
Yeah.
Dude has big hair, by the way.
He's got a good style. A really good style.
Big win for Chile, Jules, who get 3 points away to Bolivia. Mm. Now, Peru only drew at home to Ecuador. So it's really, really tight with 2 games to go. Brazil and Argentina have qualified. Ecuador are guaranteed the playoff spot. So there's really only 1 automatic place and 1 playoff left.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the points. Uruguay 22, Peru 21, Chile 19, Colombia 17. 2 games to go. Who you got?
It's going to be fascinating because Uruguay play Peru, for example, and then you've got a Chile-Uruguay game as well to finish off the whole qualifiers. Ecuador could have qualified had they won that game on Tuesday and just got a draw in the end, as we said, against Peru. So it's going to be fascinating. Colombia, you have to be worried because there's 7 games in a row now without even scoring a goal, let alone winning, just scoring a goal.
I assume they're going to run the table because it's Bolivia home and Venezuela away, so they go to 23.
Yeah, but that might be
touch
short.
And go.
Yeah, exactly. So incredible.
And really tough for Chile,
too. We mentioned the Diego Alonso for Chile as well, even if they won in midweek. It's going to be crazy. 2 rounds of games to come will be quite fascinating. Thomas Müller says nobody from Bayern has approached him about a new contract, Gab, because the current one expires in 2023. Does this mean anything? Are you surprised?
Nine!
Nine!
It means nothing. I mean, I don't...
Like, as if he's going to go to Newcastle or something. Like, everybody knows.
I saw headlines like, you know, Newcastle and Everton boost as Thomas Muller says he hasn't been offered. I'm like, really?
Please.
Like,
listen,
and Thomas, for all the nerds out there who watched Star Trek, he's like the doctor who's a hologram and he can't exist outside of the holodeck. Like, Thomas Muller, I cannot imagine him in a shirt other than Germany or Bayern. It's not like, oh, I haven't been offered a new contract. Let me tell my agent to go talk to other clubs.
He's just
going to sit there. They'll probably give him a year-by-year contract because he's older and he'll move upstairs. To me, no question about that.
No.
Everton have been busy, Jules. Yeah. Not only do they have a new manager, Frank Lampard Jr., they also brought in Dele Alli for a fee that could rise to $40 million and picked up Anwar El Ghazi and Donny van de Beek.
That's right.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he looks good on paper. I want to see, I mean, finally, Donny van de Beek is going to play in the Premier League, which is great considering he's been here for 18 months. But yeah, it's good. Let's see what Dele Alli can bring to this team, what Lampard can do with him, if he can resurrect his career or not. It'd be quite interesting.
They're going to avoid the drop.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go down. But they've got big games coming up and he will have to turn things around pretty quickly as well. Manchester United have reportedly asked Paul Pogba to delay any decision on his future gap until they decide who is going to be the new manager. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, they can ask, but Pogba's still going to do what he wants. If he gets a great deal somewhere, he's gonna go and take it. No, I think this is going to, like as you said before, he's back, he's going to play soon.
Yeah.
I think they've got that offer on the table and they'll wait and see and take his time with it.
Yeah.
The Club World Cup kicks off today in the United Arab Emirates, Jules. I'm not going to ask you who your favorite is because I'm assuming you'll say Chelsea or maybe Palmeiras if you want to go all hipster. So I'll ask you about what they're calling robot referees.
Well, yeah, they will trial it during the competition. So Chelsea will be the first Premier League club to trial it. It's basically the robot giving the offside or not. In apparently a half second.
Yeah, I got some marketing issues with this. Why do you call them robot referees? It's not a robot. Is like, you know, tweaky. It's like a robot, you know, whatever. Like, they're not robots.
That might not
it's
be
just
the final,
cameras and a computer.
It might not be the final name, but hey, let's see how that goes.
Robot referee. Can you imagine they become self-aware, like in Terminator and whatever.
And they rebel against us. Roma spent big over the summer after making big losses the last few years. And now reports in Italy suggest that maybe they could be willing to sell Nicolò Zaniolo so they can reinvest the money to strengthen Mourinho's squad. What do you think? I mean, you would hate that.
He's got a contract. Like, again, this is all contracts. He's got a contract that's expiring in 2024. Who knows what the future is going to bring? Even bringing up the issue of selling Zaniolo now makes zero sense because he's still coming back from injury. So you're not going to maximize that.
No, that's true.
So the reality is Roma have spent enormous amounts of money. They've made enormous losses. And they want to continue building. They're committed to Mourinho's project. But the idea that, you know, it makes sense for them to sell, to cash in on Zaniolo now is just simply incorrect. Maybe in the summer, maybe if Italy qualify for the World Cup, maybe if Italy win the World Cup, let's have this conversation later. Maybe. Dani Alves has been left out of Barcelona's Europa League squad. Jules, makes sense to you?
Well, there were four of them, Torres, Aubameyang, Adama, and Dani Alves.
Four
new signings for three places in the list. That's the rules. So they had to leave one out. Yeah, I do think it makes sense. He cannot play at his age, weekend in La Liga and then midweek in Europe. They might not even go far, so he might stop after the Napoli tie anyway. But I've got nothing against that. You keep your attacking options in there. It makes sense.
But you've got replacements for the other guys, whereas the replacement for Dani Alves is Serginho Des, then you get into Mingueza territory.
No, Araujo, you've got other options as well. I just don't think you can play two games in 3 days. So what's the point?
Just Europa League might be your best chance to get champions, right?
Fiorentina president Rocco Commisso is angry over fan reaction to Dusan Vlahovic's move to Juventus, and he called his agents dishonest and liars as well, Gab.
Yeah, look, we've talked about how angry Fiorentina are and the fan reaction. He really took this very personally. He on the official Twitter feed, he basically, you know, there's audio of him really having a go. He feels very let down. I think there's a bit of a PR thing going on here in the sense, and this is why communication is so important. Like we said last time, if you go out and you say, I'm rich, I've poured my heart and soul to this team. I am never going to step back and sell him. He can sit for 18 months and not play, for all I'm concerned. People are going to take that to heart. If that is the messaging
you're getting from me. See what you mean.
If from the start you're messaging, look, we live in the real world, his agents are scumbags or whatever you want to say, whatever you call them later, you know, that's a different story. I think they would have been more prepared about this. But look, he's so passionate. He's invested so much money into the team with a new stadium and so on. I think they have the tools to reinvest this money wisely and come back stronger. Jules, do we need to revise our views on Peter Bosz? Because Lyon get a late comeback win over Marseille. And this was a Lyon team without the packet, who of course was busy with South American qualifying.
Yeah.
That's impressive from Peter Bosz.
Well, they won 3 in a row now in the league for the first time this season, so it's a little bit better.
1-0 down, everything's falling apart.
And to be fair, he changed everything at halftime. The formation, he brought on Moussa Dembélé, who, by the way, was positive the day before, and then negative on the day of the game, and he was at home, and they called him and said, hey, your PCR test this morning is negative, come over, you're going to play. He started on the bench, then came on and changed the game. Shaqiri with a goal and an assist, the winning goal from Dembélé is a lovely move as well. So that will bring them a lot of momentum in what will be a very tough February. I think they play Lille, they play Monaco, they play Nice, I think, as well. So some big games, and we will know a bit more about Peter Bosz and everybody else.
Well done, Peter.
Yeah. Aaron Ramsey is finally no longer a youth player, Gab. He joins Rangers on loan. I imagine as well that they would be happy to get his wages off the books. Oh, wait. There's still a lot to pay from Juventus.
Well, the way they structure this, it's really funny. Okay, so a couple things here, right? So first of all, they're like, oh, look, he's no longer a player. I'm like, he's on loan.
Yeah.
There's a risk he could come back,
so he's
right?
He's got another year left on his contract after this.
Exactly, after this one. And then Rangers like, oh, look, we're so brilliant. I mean, honestly, Rangers briefed a couple newspapers about, look, and Juventus are paying the bulk of his wages. It's like, yeah, they are, but Rangers are also paying a £2 million loan fee for 6 months, which is a massive chunk of Ramsey's massive wages.
Exactly.
So, you know, you can't go and make this. Everybody loves spinning. This is what gets me, right? I've heard people say, this is the biggest Rangers
signing. Don't blame them for trying.
I know, but come on. I don't think fans are as gullible as before. People are saying,
this is the
biggest Rangers signing since Paul Gascoigne. I mean, really? Since Paul Gascoigne? Really? Like, you're going to compare Gascoigne and Aaron Ramsey, not Aaron Ramsey, the player who was before, Ramsey, who's hardly played. You know, again, not entirely his fault, whatever. I mean, let's wait and see. But it's been Juve, meanwhile, spinning it like, oh, look, we're so brilliant. He could be coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Rangers, Jules, Ramsey didn't play, but they got soundly beaten by Celtic and our boy Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, what a great game. Yeah, especially the first half, because it was 3-0 already at halftime. They were fantastic. And Ryo Atate, the Japanese attacking midfielder who arrived in January, was fantastic, scored 2 goals. I mean, they were so good. The intensity was amazing, and Rangers just could never cope and deal with the intensity and the rhythm from Celtic, who are now overtook Rangers at the top of the table. So it's making for a fascinating second half of the season, for sure. Jogi Löw, whose birthday is today, by the way.
Oh, on Thursday, happy birthday. How do you say Fröhliches Geburtstag.
Oh, boy, okay. Well, happy birthday, Jogi, from me. He could be returning to management, Gab, and he's curious because the former Germany manager, of course, could face a reunion with Mesut Ozil.
So a couple of things on this. First of all, I think it's great if he wants to come back.
But why in Turkey? Surely he would have had other options in Germany and places like that.
I'm not 100% sure that he would have, because remember the circumstances in which he left. Remember the fact that, you know, for him to go back into day-to-day management, he's going to want a lot of money. He's not necessarily super popular in Germany. I don't think I think he might have weighed up decisions elsewhere. He hasn't managed in club football in like a million years. It's a big change. But, well done, Yogi, for coming back. But this Mesut Ozil, I'm going to assume, obviously the two left each other in really bad terms, right?
Yeah.
Ozil deciding he was going to play for the national team anymore. Without telling Yogi Löw, who's his big fan. And then Ozil making accusations of prejudice and perhaps some racism as well. It was all really, really tense. But I would assume that these are both grown men. And in the last 3.5 years, they've spoken to each other, maybe said, let bygones be bygones. Ozil's there for another year and a half, longer.
Yeah.
So I would hope this isn't going to get in the way of things.
No, I agree with you.
Gio Lo Celso leaves Spurs on loan to join Villarreal. Is this what Unai Emery needed?
Well, he has wide players or attacking midfielders if you want. But I think in terms of having someone like Lo Celso who can play well between the line, who can play centrally, even a bit deeper if you want, I think he just gives you so many options because he's so versatile. And I think when you look at the loan deal, which I think Villarreal plays, just pay a decent amount of the wages that Joe is on. I think, again, it's this win-win situation. You know, he's really hungry to play regularly because that was not the case, I suppose, at all season. And they've got plenty of games coming between European and competitions and La Liga. They have to climb up the table in La Liga as well to finish at least top six. So I think it's great. It's a great option to have, to add to already a good squad.
I think people also forget, like, what an effective player he was when he was in La Liga before. A big score, scored a lot of goals.
Yeah, he was. Gab, remarkable story coming out of Barnet in the English lower division. According to the Times newspaper, the players threatened to go on strike unless one of the backroom staff was removed. What happened?
Yeah, so at the weekend, the Barnet played against another team whose name I can't recall right now.
Southend
was the one that they were playing on Tuesday night. Yeah. And basically, one of the opposition players complained that he had been racially abused by a member of Barnett's backroom staff.
Yeah.
Barnett had their own internal investigation. They said, we don't have evidence of this. We're not saying it didn't happen, but we don't have evidence of it. Nevertheless, the Barnett players, out of solidarity with the person who was racially abused, they went to their own club and says, listen, this guy from the backroom staff, we don't feel comfortable around him. We don't want him around. And again, based on what the Times has reported, the club said, no, we can't do that legally because he has a contract. And so the player said, well, fine, well, we're not going to play in this game against Southend. And then, according to the Times, that was reported that they were threatened with saying, well, you're not fulfilling your contracts. You won't get paid if you don't play. So at that point, they relented and they played. It's a bad situation.
Yeah, it is bad because in the end, no one wins. You see what I mean?
Nobody wins. And look, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. Everybody deserves presumption of innocence or whatever.
No, of course.
But it says a lot.
Yeah.
If a group of players say, hey, this coach of ours or the backroom staff or whatever he was, we don't want him around us.
Yeah.
And just after the guy was accused of racially abusing somebody.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Steve Hitchin has left Tottenham Hotspur. Jules, I'm guessing many probably don't know who he is, but you and I know who he is. And why is this important?
Yeah, he was the head of recruitment, head of recruitment, if you want. He's leaving his role now. I just don't think between Fabio Paratici and him, there's maybe enough room for the both of them. But he'd been really good in the recruitment of Tottenham in the last...
Yeah, he recruited Tanguy Ndombele.
Okay, but that might not just be his fault that it didn't work out, but he also, before, worked at Liverpool and with great success, and Luis Suarez, for example, and others.
Oh, that's one... I'm sorry. You got to come up with better examples than that, okay? I know Steve Hitchens very well.
He is very good. Highly and regarded. He was the one saying, hey, let's sign Luis Suarez when Fernando Torres left for Chelsea in that January. I know, but...
He used to work for Damien Comolli.
And he's the one who said to Damien Comolli, we should go for Luis Suarez. He's been scouting him a lot when he was in the Eredivisie. Well, so you don't think Hitchin advised Liverpool to sign Suarez? That's what you mean?
I think he probably did, but I'm just saying.
No, but people knew maybe about Suarez, but still.
Okay. And then he gets Luis, but then Andy Carroll, that was all.
I don't know if that's him or not.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just love it. Okay, no, listen, he is highly respected. I'm not making fun of him. But what I am saying is, a lot of these people, right, when we tell narratives about him, I purposely trolled him on Ndombele. It's not just him.
The same way
that Luis Suarez was not just him either.
Yeah.
These people are very quick to tell you their hits,
of course,
and forget about their misses.
Yeah,
that was my
but
point.
Like every head of recruitment or sponsor, you've got some good ones and some bad ones as well. You know, you can't always get
because them. Signing players is actually difficult.
Yeah, it's not exactly. And there's talked about Everton maybe going for him to replace Marcel Brands. We will see where he goes, and then we will see what kind of signings he makes in the new club. Roy Hodgson says joining Watford was like a siren call from a mermaid. He's certainly poetic, Gab. Is that like Eric Cantona or something like?
People compared this to the Eric Cantona line about the sardines following the trawler because they think fish would be thrown into the sea or seagulls follow
the seagulls. Yeah, yeah.
it's not quite on that level. No. I mean, by the standards of English football, which is a very low bar for poetry, even Cantona's poetry.
Yeah.
That's very but true. I just love, like, I can't get this out of my mind. Like, so what? Like, Gino Pozzo is like a siren on a rock?
I don't even want to picture in my head. I don't want to like see it. No, stop it.
Roger Schmidt, Jules, is doing well at PSV Eindhoven.
Very well.
It's a two-way race for the title. They could still win it, although they've fallen behind. He comes out and he says, hey, look, yeah, I'm not going to renew my contract. I want to leave next year. I want to leave in the summer. First of all, I know this is probably normal in Germany with German managers.
Oh, yeah, we've said that before. We've highlighted that before.
But is this helpful coming out in February and saying it in public?
Do you think it's because there's already an offer for him somewhere in a big German club and he's preparing his own exit and because he knows he's got that on the table? Otherwise, I mean, they're doing well in they're doing great in the league. He can win the league. I don't see the only thing that he will do is unsettle your team, your club, your young players who are young and not very experienced. So they worship you in a way. Things are going really great. And now you say to them, you know what? I love you guys and we're doing a great job, but I'm off in May and I can't wait. Because if you say it now, it's clearly because you cannot wait to get out.
It's a weird one.
Unless he fell out with the club maybe and people above him.
Either he fell out, which is possible, but even then, I think you would assume keep it under wraps. But I would assume that you could go to the club and say, hey, guys, only people know it. Me, my lawyer, you, and the director of football. I'm not going to extend this contract.
Yeah.
But let's keep it under wraps because let's go and win the title.
He must have something else. Max Eble, the Borussia Mönchengladbach
Sporting director,
and been at the club since like forever, it sounds like, has announced that he was leaving Gab and was crying in his press conference and very distraught about it.
Yeah, he cited mental health issues and he cited mental exhaustion and so on. And look, the reason we bring this up is not so much because Gladbach, it's a huge story. Obviously, they are a big club.
Yeah, they are a huge club.
But it's just the fact that, you know, here is German macho wheeling dealer sporting director type, and he comes out and he's open and honest about male mental health
issues. Yeah,
you know, male mental health is an underreported issue. It's an underreported issue in football. There's a bunch of campaigns about it, and so well done to Max Eberl for coming out and being honest and being direct about it. And if you need help, seek help.
Yeah,
Jules, I thought Vitorino Hilton had retired. But he's still going strong
at
44 years of age, playing professional football as an outfield player.
Yeah.
Look, this is what keeps Ibra going.
It's exactly.
going to be Hilton's record.
He wants to be Vitorino record. He's just signed a contract for Sète, who are playing in the third division in France, hoping to get promotion to Ligue 2. So it's really, really good level. He lives not far from there. He's been training, and you know the guy is so... You know you can rely on him in terms of fitness. He's not going to have there like 20 kilos overweight. So
he's the warrior monk.
He is, and he's ready to go. And I can't wait to see what happens to him in the third division. Now, you know, he's played 21 years in France or something like that. Ridiculous. unbelievable career. Gareth Bale is back in training for Real Madrid, Gab, and could feature soon. And he took to Instagram to hit back at some of the critics in a purely visual way.
I thought... I've been critical of Gareth Bale in the past and some things, but I got to applaud him or applaud his social media team anyway. I thought this was brilliant. So basically, like a week ago, somebody found pictures of Gareth Bale 4 or 5 years ago, and he's got enormous legs and thighs, right? Like, you know, footballer ones. And then they ran a picture of him training more recently, and it looks like he's got little, like, stick legs, especially in the upper thighs. I mean, it looks creepy almost.
So saying that he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, so he's not training, muscles. He's not his muscle mass. But then he points out that it's simply the camera angle. That's all it is. And, you know, and he's got like the arrow pointing to it, shows him. And his upper thighs look just fine.
Just exactly the same.
Nice one, Gareth. Best way to respond to the critics there. Right, Jules, that brings us to an end. But we got to come back because club football is back because there is so much going on. We've got Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. We have the Milan Derby. The final of the Africa Cup of Nations.
The FA Cup, not so much.
But until then, as it says here, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.